Russian President Vladimir Putin held meetings in St. Petersburg late last week with German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder and French President Jacques Chirac. All three leaders opposed military action against Iraq and reiterated their belief that the war was wrong to undertake. But they strongly emphasized their pleasure at Saddam Hussein's departure from power. Their talks focused on developing a strategy for their nations to influence the political shape of post-war Iraq. At a closing news conference, all three stressed that the United Nations needs to be the guiding force behind the reconstruction of Iraq's political structure and physical infrastructure. Earlier in the week, following meetings with British Prime Minister Tony Blair in Northern Ireland, President Bush bowed to pressure from his principal ally in the war and acknowledged that the United Nations would play a role in post-war Iraq.
Rebuilding of Iraq will require the support and expertise of the international community. We're committed to working with international institutions, including the United Nations, which will have a vital role to play in this task.
Writer James Traub has an article on the future of the United Nations in today's New York Times Sunday magazine. He's in our New York bureau. Good morning, Mr. Traub.
Good morning, Leanne.
The president didn't sound too enthusiastic in his remarks about the United Nations. Do you think that countries, and particularly those on the Security Council that opposed the war, can actually muster the influence that's needed to win a vital role for the UN in Iraq after the war?
Well, Leanne, the question is, what does the word vital mean? And when the president was pressed on that, he refused to give an answer. It's clear from everything that he has said and others in the administration have said that by vital, they mean providing vital medical and food-related services and resettling refugees, but not having any role in the actual shaping of the future Iraqi government, as, for example, the Security Council did and the UN did in Afghanistan. And that is going to be the sticking point, because from the point of view not only of the French, the Germans, and the Russians, but I would say most of our allies, possibly not including Britain, but possibly including Britain, the UN has to be seen as conferring its legitimacy upon this new government, and that if the new government is seen as a wholly American creation, it will be deeply suspect.
So the United Nations and the United States, it seems like a time for them when shifts in power are happening. The United Nations has been on the endangered species list before. Is this time different?
Well, that's what I try to puzzle through in this article. And inside the UN, they've all been buffeted so many times by these acts of American indifference or hostility or whatever that there's an inclination to say, oh, we've been here before. Look at Kosovo. The NATO essentially went to war in Kosovo in the absence of a Security Council resolution, and then it was all over and differences were patched up and things moved on. And it may well prove to be the case that that's true here, but I think not. And I don't think it's wholly a matter of the unilateralism of this particular administration. I think what's happened is that already in the past, of course, the United States was uniquely able to do what it wished, as no other country in the world could. But after 9/11, the United States' definition of its interests have turned out to have changed quite a bit. The U.S. now sees itself as being threatened by terrorism in a way that even our Western allies do not. And so what this means is that maybe even an administration less inclined to distrust the UN than this one would be reluctant to go to an organization that is able to veto our own wishes and possibly to block our own expression of our vital interests. So this could be a long-lasting effect on the UN and on the Security Council.
Why does the United States need the United Nations?
That's the big question. And so I think we've made it plain. We don't need anyone's help to fight a war. We are great at that. And so huge is the disparity between our capacity and that of anybody we'd be likely to attack that we don't even need allies. A coalition is just a kind of a cosmetic device for us. So the question is, are there terribly important objectives of ours that we cannot achieve by ourselves? And I think we're about to run up against one. If we turn over a power to an Iraqi government that is seen as an American puppet, then that is going to cause very bad repercussions for that government and for us. And the way this whole struggle ends and the way this government takes shape will determine how people perceive Iraq, our role in Iraq, and our larger role in the world. And so I think there it will prove to be far more important than it was in the conduct of the war that we have the role of the Security Council and the credibility of the Security Council in shaping and giving its seal of approval to whatever government arises there.
James Traub is a contributing writer to the New York Times Sunday magazine. He joined us from our New York bureau. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.